All right, well, it's Friday, which means Mr. Luke Hogg from Freedom Works is going to join me before he checks out for his Memorial Day weekend. How are you, Mr. Hogg?
I'm doing great, Rick. Always be happy to be on.
Well, we're happy that you took some time on the Friday before Memorial Day to join us. I know a lot of people tend to check out a little early, but not you, my friend. You are here with us and ready to talk some Washington insider stuff. Did you, what's your thoughts on that China bill that just went through that had 91-4, I believe, support both Republicans and Democrats? Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I saw that. That's a really weird one. I believe you were talking about the United States Innovation and Competition Act, or earlier it was the Endless Frontier. You know, we always talk about in D.C., they have all these short titles to basically cover up how bad all these bills are.
Yeah.
So it was a really weird scenario because, as you said, you know, it had this overwhelming vote. But the bill doesn't, so ostensibly it's supposed to be going after the rise of China and doing a whole bunch of stuff to try and combat, you know, IP theft and all those kind of things. But, you know, it's the classic scenario that we see all the time of, you know, people screaming that we need to do something about China. And, you know, and the end result of the legislation is just absolutely horrendous. So what this legislation is going to do is, you know, it's basically just going to pump a whole bunch of money both into private companies, corporate subsidies, and then also giving a whole bunch of money to like the National Science Foundation and the EPA and the Department of Energy to, you know, try and do innovation, which is just a completely ridiculous proposition.
Just, I like how you say, just do innovation. Just go ahead.
Yeah,
it's the meme. It's the meme where the guy with the stick, come on, do innovation.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it's not even tailored or really targeted. It's just kind of like there's some general categories that they throw in there because they knew they would get hit on just throwing money at a problem. But to me, it's a really funny thing because they don't, you know, as I said, this is ostensibly about going after China and trying to, you know, bring back our economic competitiveness and fight IP theft and all these kind of things. But it doesn't actually do any of that. It doesn't actually do anything to stop dumping or to try and stop IP theft or any of these things. All it does is, you know, this is kind of the trend of the Biden administration, right? We're just going to keep throwing money at problems and hope that they solve themselves.
Exactly. You're listening to Luke Hogg from Freedom Works here on the Bear Brief on the Crusade Channel. It's very telling when Marco Rubio, Josh Hawley, Tom Cotton, and Bernie Sanders are the four to vote against it. That's got to tell you something right there.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those. It's funny because I don't agree with Bernie Sanders and Josh Hawley on a whole lot. But every now and then they do something that's, you know, positive. So I have to give them props on this one, but you know, it was really sad to see a lot of our allies on the Hill, you know, just kind of fold because at this point it's anything that's anything remotely related to China, and people just vote for it carte blanche. They don't think about, well, maybe there's a better way to be spending taxpayer money.
Yeah, unfortunately, and a lot of it goes to you can trace the amount of money that the Chinese have put into American politics here and there for both sides. It's not just they control, but they have a lot of influence across the board at universities and all these places. So it's unfortunate in that way. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on that because we were talking about it this morning here on the Bear Brief on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. But you got a couple articles for me here at Freedom Works. One from Adam Brandon a couple days ago, talking about the United States Innovation and Competition Act. This is pretty much what we were talking about before, but what is Adam writing in his primary opposition to it?
So really the primary opposition to this is that they're funneling money specifically to the National Science Foundation and the Department of Energy. And there's this presumption that we can innovate our way out of the economic competition with China, which just flies in the face of everything. You know, we already innovate faster than they do, and we do wonderful. Our tech space is fantastic compared to the Chinese. The problem is that they're stealing all of our information, and they're stealing all this stuff. And so, really, our main opposition is that you're just funneling money to you know, the Department of Energy and the National Science Foundation in particular, because those two organizations have a long history of waste and abuse of taxpayer money. I mean, you can go back and look at some reports for the National Science Foundation, and they've just done absolutely ridiculous things with millions of dollars under the guise of doing science, right? And these are some weird, you know, scientific programs like, you know, feeding mice to do different things. And I think the funniest one I saw was that they were spending money to try and figure out ways to make mice glow in the dark. So that was a funny one. But, you know, it's just another example of, you know, not targeting money in the right places, and just nobody seems to care about fraud, waste, and abuse anymore.
No. At this point, the amount of money that's just being Xeroxed, and it seems like Xeroxed and just shipped out. We'll talk about the $6 trillion proposal in a minute. But in two ways, first of all, the Chinese reverse engineer all our stuff. So the fact that doesn't really cover that intellectual property. I know Marco Rubio had a big thing about the intellectual property aspect. And secondly, you just keep mentioning, we keep talking about the science foundations. If we're putting so much money into these science organizations, these nationalized, federalized organizations, yet every 2 or 4 years when election cycles come up, we need to pour more money into education because our science is so terrible. So it's like, but we're pouring money into the science foundation, so why are we so terrible at science when we're supposedly spending the money to do sciencey things, yet we always comparably are terrible to the rest of the world? At least that's what they tell us.
Well, you're right. And I guess the only other thing on the, since we're already harping on China, I guess we have to talk about John Cena, right? That, you know, it's really sad to see all of these celebrities kind of take a stand, especially, you know, on Taiwan, on Hong Kong. We talk about LeBron James, you know, you can see them kind of wanting to take a stand, but then getting pulled back by the powers that be. And both in terms of members of Congress, and I think the general public and even celebrities, that I think we need to really have a willingness to start talking about these things and say what we really mean. I mean, we talk about when President Trump answered the phone call from the president of Taiwan, and the left-wing media lost their minds and they thought that China was going to start, you know, throwing nukes around and all of these horrible stuff. But I think that, you know, a tough on China approach is really necessary. And if we're continually kowtowing, and, you know, always watching exactly what we say so that we don't, you know, make Beijing mad, then we're never going to get there.
Well, the problem is that we have too much economic dependency on China. And as far as John Cena, he made the simple mistake of conversing with a Taiwanese news agency and said that, well, your country is going to be the first ones to see it. And when Universal calls him and says, listen, 32% of our total box office comes from China. When John Cena said that, Fast and the Furious 9 had been out for, I believe, a week, and had already made $136 million in China alone. And the impact of the Chinese money and the Chinese box office and how it's transformed the film industry cannot be understated, to the fact that if you ever see a 10-cent film produced, like Godzilla versus Kong, I don't know if you saw it, but that was a 10-cent film. 10-cent is a CCP propaganda wing production company, and all they do is put money into Hollywood films and making sure that the Chinese interests are represented. Like when, I don't know if you saw the Top Gun 2 trailer, they removed the Taiwanese patch. That was because Tencent is partly funding that, and they were like, nah, you gotta get rid of that patch. So when we talk about the taking a stand, that will never happen, at least from the consumer capitalist side, because we've given the Chinese dollar so much preferential treatment, because we've abandoned Western box offices in regards to that billion person, you know, how many people they have and how much money they have. So yeah, we'll never, for the time until money starts being produced here and we start focusing back this way, you won't see any of that kind of stuff because it's just a capitalism gain for or game for Hollywood education. I mean, Harvard, since 2013, has received almost $1 billion from the Chinese. So it's all just the amount of money that they have influence, kind of like we were talking about with the Republican Democratic senators voting for that Endless Frontier Act or whatever it was called, because they're all getting money from that as well. So it's unfortunate that we've ceded so much economic control to China, because that's the kind of stuff we're going to be continuing to do.
Well, I completely agree. And obviously, so my most recent interaction with Tencent was, besides the Godzilla movie, was when they did the remake of the Midway movie. And there's some very interesting, I'll let you watch the movie and make your own opinion, but there's some very interesting things
in
that movie where you can see the Chinese Communist Party pulling some strings there. But, you know, and you brought up another issue though, which is kind of these Confucius Institutes and this funneling of money into American universities and all this kind of stuff. And I think that the part of the answer, right, there's no silver bullet here, but I think part of the answer is on the grassroots side and on basically on institutions. You know, my own alma mater of the College of William & Mary just announced that they will not be allowing the Confucius Institute back on campus next year. And there's several colleges and universities that are doing this after people have raised these concerns. So I think that that's positive to see that this, you know, we're going to have to shift public sentiment, and public sentiment is already started to shift, and it's only going to continue to do so.
Yeah, we can thank institutes like the NBA and LeBron James and those institutions for bringing out really how much influence one country has over all of our institutions, if you want to look at it that positively. The fact that the NBA has been so outlandish in their support and deference to China, because people don't pay. Unfortunately, Luke Hogg from FreedomWorks joining me here on the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel. You people like you and I who actually look at this stuff and see and do a little bit of research. Your average person doesn't either have the time or the care to do all this, but they do watch basketball. And they do see that LeBron James doing cartwheels at the behest of the Chinese government. And they're going, wait, that doesn't make sense. Why are you doing that? And then, of course, you have some outlets like Outkick the coverage and others saying, this is how much money the Chinese pour into these institutions. And so hopefully that's green lighting a lot of people, or red pilling, or whatever you want to say in that regard. So, yes, I'm glad to hear that your alma mater is doing that. And hopefully other alma maters step up as well, because there's no silver bullet. It's going to be it's going to be stages. You're going to have to get rid of the Confucius Institute. Then you're going to have to find ways to bring back small portions of manufacturing back to the United States. And that's what Trump was trying to do. Love him or hate him, he at least called out that problem that we have way too much stuff that's being made over there, whether it's like toilet paper or any of this kind of stuff that we're dependent on. And it's going to be a series of small steps. And unfortunately, both sides of the aisle and the regime administration, the people occupying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue are not interested in that at all.
Well, exactly. Because, you know, it's one of those issues where, you know, it's kind of like the Israel-Palestine issue or several other of these foreign policy issues where politicians feel a necessity to pay lip service, right?
Yeah.
I doubt that you could go and find anyone on Capitol Hill that would say wonderful, nice, glowing things about the Chinese Communist Party, right? But the problem is then putting that into action, and that's what we're seeing here, is this kind of, to come full circle back to the United States Innovation Act, is that,
yep,
you know, that's exactly what we're seeing here, is that this is a bill that is effectively paying lip service to the idea of doing something about China without actually doing anything. And that's what politicians seem to be best at these days, is acting like they're doing something without actually doing something.
Absolutely. Let's cover this second article, because you gave me two here. This is by Sarah Anderson and Representative Ted Budd, talking about pork barrel earmarks begin to poison Washington. We got about 4 minutes left. I'll give you that time to really talk about this article, and I'll drop it in our chat room.
Yeah, so just real quick, as you said, this was an article by my colleague Sarah Anderson and Representative Ted Budd, where they talk about the earmarks issue. So if you were unaware, earmarks went away for a little while and they came back now. And if you don't know what an earmark is, you're not alone. It's basically a line item piece of the budget where members can submit to try and get, you know, a bridge or an aquatic center or a baseball field and really anything you want. But in their particular district. So these are using federal funds to do usually infrastructure things or something related, public works in particular districts. And it's particularly problematic because it's where a lot of log rolling happens in Congress. A lot of favors are exchanged in exchange for, you know, these projects. So just for an example, here's a couple from the article, actually, that, you know, Representative Donald Payne Jr. from New Jersey is asking for $500,000 for a meditation and restorative yoga program. And
that's fantastic.
Representative Luke. Oh, the next one's better. Representative Lou Correa from California has asked for $2 million to build a pickleball court in Orange County. And so these are the kind of things. No, you can find it. It's in the budget. And this, yep. These are the kind of things that you get when you have the earmarks process. So I'd encourage everyone to go online. That article ran in the Washington Examiner, I think, yesterday. And it's a really great look at why earmarks are such a disastrous budget mechanism and why they end up creating more corruption, more fraud, and more waste, and obviously more abuse.
Absolutely. Luke Hogg from FreedomWorks. Hey, guess what? When you're on my show, we have breaking news here. The U.S. Senate has blocked that January 6th commission 54 to 35. It just came out about 11 minutes ago.
Oh, dang. Once I get off, I'm going to have to go and look at that. And if you didn't know, Rick, in the next about hour, we should have a budget from President Biden. So that'll be boondoggle.
We didn't talk about it, the $6 trillion package that he wants to put out now. So,
yeah. We'll have to see what exactly is in there, but that's coming out today. So it's
All right, a big day. We'll look for it. We'll look at FreedomWorks to see what you guys have to say about it. Luke Hogg, thank you for joining us here. You want to let everybody know where they can find you besides freedomworks.org.
As always, you can check us out on all of the social medias. Follow FreedomWorks on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Parler. I think we're back on Parler now. and then you can follow my own personal Twitter account at L-E-H-O-G-G.
All right.
So always great to talk to you, Rick.
All right, Luke. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And go enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
I will, and you enjoy yours as well.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.